Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And it's Thursday, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we're on 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Black Ice, and I'm so glad to have you here. I had some mechanical problems, technical problems a couple weeks ago when I had the lovely and wonderful Dr. Reba on. And if you didn't get a chance to, I think that show was archived. And if you get a chance, I'd like for you to take a listen to it. She is an author and a wonderfully intelligent and a very articulate lady. And she speaks to many issues, primarily from a spiritual perspective. But let me get this housekeeping out of the way right quick. I'd like to offer this disclaimer. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show, the description, fundamentally addresses community concerns in regard to design and ways members in the communities can increase their ability to acquire income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be, on occasion, musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, or any other members of this society for that matter, or reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, or investigating the best possible means for boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics too numerous to mention, will you please join us and feel free to give us a call or join us in the chat room. That's the next phase with Ice and Friends. Give us a call at 397-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blackicez.1@gmail.com. If you have any guests or any ideas for any shows in the future, please feel free to let us know, and we'll be glad to evaluate what it is that you're the contributions that you want to make, and we will, without question, do our best to accommodate you. And especially if if you're a writer or a community activist or my good friend, Mr. T.L. Harris, hopefully he'll be on next week. I'm not sure, but we'll check to see. Musical historian he is. And also we've had Brother Sabatai, Brother Ogun, Sister Vicky, Miss Panadia Double E. We've had Honey Drip Peach. We've had any number of wonderful and delightful guests on the program. And also, again, I'd like to commend Dr. Reba. We had technical difficulties during her show. I'll have to get her address. I always neglect something, and that was one of the things that I neglected was her web address. She has a web address, and she also has a book. And we'll be getting that information to you hopefully as we continue on through the show. But we really appreciate her being here, Dr. Reba. And also we've asked her to come back, and may I say a good friend also up in Pennsylvania, Sister Rabia Ahmed, and with the SMART program, S-M-A-R-T, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And we've had any number of wonderful guests, and they've been very much appreciated and highly respected. As well as I'd like to also mention some of the shows that appear on Blog Talk Radio that you might take advantage of. And these are some of the people that I've had a chance to meet since I've been on Blog Talk Radio. Sister India Declare, her show comes on daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Thursday. And you can contact her through the India Declare Show at gmail.com. That's INDIADECLAIRSHOW, India Declare Show. Sister Nalazar, she's on Sundays at 6 p.m. And her address would be www.blogtalkradio.com/Nalazar1, NAVAXOR1 /2010/09/19. I think that was her last show. /less-talk-1. That's Sister Navazar, NAVAXOR1. If you get a chance to go to the Blog Talk Radio site, all you have to do is enter these names and their information will appear for you. And you can follow these hosts. They have some wonderful shows as well. Miss Janice Graham, J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice, G-R-A-H-A-M, on Common Ground. That's Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central, www.blogtalkradio.com/OCG, Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground with Janice Graham, and also Miss Quiet Storm. I don't want to neglect her. She's on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, and 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. www.blogtalk.com/Miss Quiet Storm. And you give her a good listen, too, because she also is a wonderful host. And my brother, let's see, I got to get Brother Alpha mentioned, and I'll get his information, as well as Jay. I got to look these guys up. I didn't put them on my list of names, and that's my oversight, and please forgive me. And we'll get those names posted for you so you can follow those hosts as well. Anyway, we're about 12 days away from November the 2nd, one of the most significant election situations that I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I've been here 58 years. And some of the issues that I wanted to address tonight, since we didn't have a guest schedule, and I would like to. So if you have a guest, you know of a guest, or if you want to be a guest, or you have a topic that you want to see addressed, just give us a call at 347-945-7040. Or blakicz.1@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to evaluate the information that you provide us. Tonight, I hope you understand. I had a chance to listen to a guy last night who was a Republican. I'm not a Republican, and I want you to know that, right? So you can, you know, if you want to turn your radio off or switch to another program, because I'm definitely an Obama supporter. And the gentleman was talking about the differences that he saw in his perspective in regard to politics and the information that he had about President Obama and the Democratic Party. And there are any number of issues that have come up over the last several months in regard to this election coming up. And let me give you my opinion. I'm not an educated individual. Don't have AAAS, BS, MS, PhD, any of that, anything before my name except a worker. I've been working for several years, over 30-some-odd years. But my perspective is, I listened to a lady, Miss Sharon Angle, and I was really I had a reaction when she mentioned about Harry Reid, to tell him to man up. And I've heard different retorts from Republican or quote unquote conservative or quote unquote Tea Party women in regard to the masculinity of their Democratic opponents. And one of the things that I thought about when I was listening to the conservative speaker last night was the idea that Ms. Sharon Angle mentioned man up. And I'm not sure that she really doesn't understand, nor do a lot of the people understand. And this is really, it's a shame in this regard, that the leader of the House, the Speaker of the House, is a woman. And she's also a Democrat. And I would estimate that if you would take a number of take the numbers of females in the Democratic Congress, and look at the diversity, I'm sure that you would see that there would be a tremendous amount more Democrat women than there are Republican women. So my point is simply, especially in when you think about Geraldine Ferraro, when you think about Hillary Clinton, when you think about some of the more prominent women in the Democratic Party who've had a tremendous impact and influence on our party, and we welcome that. I mean, we've never had an aversion to women being associated with us, or an aversion to people of different ethnicities or different persuasions of whatever kind, religious or whatever. You know, we, to me, and that's what the reason that I claim to be a Democrat is because we do embrace diversity, because I feel as though that's what our country represents, is diversity. And when you look at, to me, the Republican Party, and I could be wrong, and if you think I'm wrong, give me a call right here, 347-945-7040. And when I look at the Republican Party, it looks a little bit more one-sided. I've seen some information about a guy from, I can't think of where he's from the South somewhere, and if elected, he'll be the first black Republican elected to Congress since J.C. Watts, since 2008. I think they are touting that as some great accomplishment. And, you know, it's not an accomplishment for us as Democrats. We celebrate diversity. We have a diverse mixture. And that gives us a wider range of ideals and positions and perspectives that we have to choose from. And all of those are directed toward improving in America itself, where you have more of a less diverse environment politically, congressionally, or whatever, and the Senate. Then I'm sure that what I see is that your view is a little bit less broad. It's more skewed to one perspective, and I think that doesn't necessarily represent the perspective of the nation at large, you know. And so, again, as I was listening to, and what I see happening is that there are some very, very intelligent Republican women, and that are, to me, fundamentally a lot more sound than some of the women that I've seen running in this particular election. So it seems as though that they are being offered up to be ridiculed so that we can be castigated as Democrats because we disagree with them politically. And the party, the male population of the Republican Party sits back and laughs, you know, because, you know, it's like they get to kill two birds with one stone. They get to castigate the Democrat Party because we are running in opposition to the women candidates that they've selected, and they get a chance to, in a way, ridicule the women that they've selected because there are a lot of real qualified women, I'm sure, in the Republican Party, not near as extreme as I feel the women that they're running are. But anyway, in regard to some of the other issues that I've looked at this week, one of the things that I found that interested me was they talk about the Republicans do, and this is significant because November the 2nd, you're going to have to you're going to vote one way or another. If you don't go to the poll, then you're going to allow someone else to vote for you. And if you do go to the poll and you vote, and you vote not the right way, then you're going to allow a group of people to gain control who I don't think that you really want to see in control, in my opinion, okay, speaking as a Democrat. My issue is simply this, that for 8 years we had the Republicans reasonably in control, president in the White House and so forth. I watched the Republicans, from my perspective, take somewhere around $280 billion surplus and turn it into a $1.4 trillion deficit. $280 billion surplus turned into a $1.3 or $4 trillion deficit. I watched the elimination from the United States of about 5 million jobs. I watched the last month of the past administration suffering job hemorrhages, job losses of around 750,000 per month. Now, you know, in my opinion, is that sufficient to recommend that you should consider the Republican Party and not, you know, the postulations, not the bloviations, not the suppositions, not the broad and glowing generalities, but the actual facts? You know, were the Republicans successful, they would have handed the president, current president, a booming economy with adding jobs and decreasing deficit. But instead, what they handed, this is the Republican Party. Well, it was initially the Republican Party. Then that wasn't popular after Ronald Reagan and the Contra affair, and, you know, then he got his Alzheimer's deal, and then Bush with the situations in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth. We went from the Republican Party to the conservatives, and now it's turned to the Tea Party, you know. And the Democrats have been Democrats all along the way because, you know, there is a certain amount of pride that I feel of, as being a Democrat. I don't have any, you know, they don't do everything that I like to see done, but I more closely associate myself with the Democrat Party than I could ever associate myself with the Republican Party or the Tea Party. Now, what they espouse is ideally, you know, a successful USA. Now, I could associate myself with that, but the practical means that they choose to go about accomplishing those goals, I don't. You know, I don't see outsourcing jobs as being beneficial to the middle class, you know. And you know, I understood my understanding of supply-side economics, and a lot of people, if you choose to disagree with me, 347-945-7040, and you can see I'm not a very well-educated individual, but I don't mind having a conversation with you, not at all. Anyway, the whole idea from my perspective of tax cuts for the wealthy and supply-side economics to me suggests that if I have a supply, then the demand is automatically created. And so all I need to do is produce a supply and not concern myself with the demand. Now, I see a problem with that model. What I see is a need for a greater demand, you know, and a manufacturing base, which a lot of you may not remember, but Ronald Reagan wanted to get rid of the manufacturing base and turn this country into a service economy. And, you know, they outsource the services to different places, Costa Rica, different places. They outsource them to India, you know. And so then what you have virtually is that the major financial, the individual with the money continue to make money. But the way we as middle class people make money is through work, through having jobs. We exchange our time for financial resource. And when you take the financial resource away, we have no way to exchange our time. We're just stuck, you know, unemployed. So they say, well, you know, the best tax program that I can see is full employment. Because right now what's happening is as you decrease the amount of people working, you increase the tax burden if you want to continue the services for those individuals. Now, where you want to cut the services? Where do you want to cut them? You want to not feed the children in school? You want to, you know, not try to take care of the homeless people? You want to not take care of people who need the insurance benefits? You know, and then, you know, they say that women are not going to vote with the Democrats this year. That's really strange to me because there are a significant, I think, I know that there were 500,000 homeless African-American children. And I'm not sure, I don't have the figures on how many homeless and indigent people of other ethnic persuasions there are. But those women don't have the resources to provide for their children. The only way that they can do that is if they have gainful employment. And you can't have gainful employment if you want to outsource jobs to China. China, you know, and I don't care what you do. I mean, you know, a lot of people have jobs doing this. You may, I don't care what you, what kind of job you have, welder, truck driver, mechanic, machinist, it doesn't make a difference. Your job has been enhanced due to the fact that there have been unions who fight to ensure that you get holidays, holiday pay, overtime pay, time off, sick leave. You know, the corporations could do that themselves. They could just, you know, unilaterally make that determination. But as you can see today, the corporations to me don't seem to have that affinity. They don't seem to want to lend themselves to the idea that they want to support the indigent people of the U.S. And that's a sad statement in my opinion, but it's nevertheless, you know, potentially true. And I guess the whole idea is, can I substantiate what my positions are? And I'll try to do that over the course of this show. Anyway, I was reading some information from that was called Hope and Change, 90-plus accomplishments of the Obama administration so far. And I think you can find this information in the Daily Cause. And it says, here's a nice list compiled by Robert Watson of Lynn University of a few of the Obama administration accomplishments so far. Now, if you can refute these, fine. But these are some of the ones. Ordered all federal agencies to undertake and study and make recommendations for ways of cut spending. Ordered a review of all federal operations to identify and cut wasteful spending and practices. Instituted enforcement of equal pay for women. Equal pay for women. Beginning the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Families of fallen soldiers have expenses covered to be on hand when the body arrives at Dover Air Force Base. Ended media blackout on war casualties, reporting full information. Ended media blackout on covering the return of fallen soldiers to Dover Air Force Base. The media is now permitted to do so pending adherence of respect the rules and approval of fallen soldiers and their families. Let's see, the White House and federal government are respecting the Freedom of Information Act. Instruct all federal agencies to promote openness and transparency as much as possible. Limit on lobbyist access to the White House. Limit on the White House aides working for lobbyists after their tenure in the administration. End of the previous stop loss policy that kept soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan longer than their enlistment date. Now I'm down to number 13, phasing out the expensive F-22 warplane and other outdated weapon systems, which weren't even used or needed in Iraq or Afghanistan. The industrial military complex. Remove restrictions on embryonic stem cell research. Federal support for stem cell and new biomedical research. I'm down to number 16 now. New federal funding for sciences and research labs. States are permitted to enact federal fuel efficiency standards above federal standards. Number 18, increase infrastructure spending, roads, bridges, power plants after years of neglect. You know, funds for high-speed broadband, internet access, K-12 to K-12 schools. New funds for school construction. I'm down to 21 now. The prison of Guantanamo Bay being phased out. U.S. auto industry rescue plan. Remember that? You know, a lot of people say, well, why not let it collapse? Well, you could have let it collapse, right? And if you let it collapse, then also you would have had all the contributing industries, such as the people that make steering wheels, the people that make the covers that go on your the brake pads, you know, the tail lights or whatever, the pistons, the engine blocks. If they're made in the U.S., you know, and some of those have been outsourced to other countries. But you see, all those people would have been ill affected. And what that means in the communities would be less jobs in the community, more burden on those working to ensure that the services to people who need those services are going to be available. Either that or you have the federal government has to assist you because the states are strapped. They don't have the ability. Their primary opportunity was based on full employment model. If they had employment, then they could provide the necessary financial wherewithal to assist those people who weren't able. And you know what? The more people who work, the less people who need assistance. Under George Bush, the record was set more people on food stamps than any in all the history of the food stamp program. So I can understand people having an affinity, and you know, it's more or less supposedly this vote of, well, you know, the only people that are going to vote for Barack Obama are going to be the minorities and the students. You know, the minority, and then, of course, you know, your corporate media is going to say, well, 92% of the black people voted for Obama. So that associates, you know, Obama with the black people, me, and the students, you know, the young and supposedly inexperienced, you know. And this is the corporate media who all make more probably than any one of us. And, of course, Brother Limbaugh, you know, Brother Limbaugh, $65 million regardless of where your job is. You can support him. Of course you can. You can support Mr. Beck, $34.5 million a year, regardless of where your job is, regardless of how bad your children need their home and it's being taken away due to foreclosures. I mean, you know, so I can understand a lot of people having the opportunity, the inclination, the motivation, you know, the intuitive, the acumen to vote Republican. I just don't find myself in that camp. But, you know, along with that, I found some other issues, and it's really strange, you know, when you stop and think about some of these things that are motivating people, and, you know, and they brag about it. Well, you know, it's going to be the 92%. Now, did I vote for Obama because, quote unquote, he's black? No. I voted for Obama because he's an intelligent individual that happens to be black, if you want to call color significant. Anyway, let's talk about Mark Kirkland. Mark Kirk. Now, I don't know who Mark Kirk is. I just found this article. He's a Republican in Illinois. My goodness. Mark Kirk, K-R-K, Mark Kirk. Okay, let me see. What is he talking about? What's talking about Mark Kirk? What the heck do I know about Illinois? I'm in Texas. I don't know anything. But anyway, let's take a chance. It says, and this is from thinkprogress.org. Thinkprogress.org. I believe I'm right on that. Yeah. Mark Kirk. Held Beijing fundraiser one day before voting against closing offshoring loopholes. Back in May, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 4213, the American Jobs and Closing Tax Loopholes Act. The bill, which ran into the Republican-led filibuster that stalled it in the Senate, it intended to close tax loopholes that incentivize the offshoring of American jobs to foreign countries. One congressman who voted against the bill was Representative Mark Kirk, K-R-K. I keep getting that name confused for some reason. Now it's come back to light that Kirk, who is also the Illinois Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, held a fundraiser with at least a dozen American businessmen doing business in China the day before he went to the floor of the House of Representatives to vote down legislation that would help keep American jobs from moving overseas. I messed up that paragraph. If you don't mind, I'll read it again. Now it has come to light that Kirk, who is also the Illinois Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, held a fundraiser with at least a dozen American businessmen doing business in China the day before he went to the floor to the House of Representatives to vote down legislation that would help keep American jobs from moving overseas. You know, the Republicans voted down that bill. But they want to help you. They're on your side. They're behind you doing something back there. The Capital Facts blog has obtained an internal memo detailing Clark's campaign fundraising. Interestingly, at one point, the memo sets out a fundraising calendar. On the calendar, it lists the words Beijing FR on May 27th, fundraiser, one day before the May 28th vote in office. This is how brazen these guys are. These guys, because they know that they have Supreme Court justices in their back pocket, you know, and they have a large majority of voters, you know, the well-informed voting majority. They have them in their back pocket. What is that? What Christine O'Donnell said? Got you in my back pocket. You know, this is the informed elite. You know, I'm just an ignorant laborer, a peon. You know, as the Capital Facts blog notes, FR stands for is a standard for campaign abbreviation for fundraiser. The blog asked Kirk Campaign about the fundraiser and was told that the campaign held a Skype fundraising call with at least 12 people, all American businessmen operating in China. Although the campaign did not release the names, of course, full disclosure now. You know, you want full disclosure, right? But without the names. I want to fully disclose all this information, but I don't want to tell you who it is that I'm talking with. Although the campaign did not release the names of the businessmen who were part of the call, perusal of SEC records show that Kirk did receive donations that day from at least some of the individuals who had financial interest. You get what I'm saying? Financial interest in China. Jeffrey Enick, that's GEOFFERYENCK, contributed $1,000 that day. And he's the CEO of ITI, China Holdings. One of the things the company does is investment banking for Chinese manufacturing plants. Richard Horowitz donated $1,000 to Kirk that same day and is president of P&F Industries. P&F Industries in 2009 purchased approximately 41% of this pneumatic tools from a Far East trading company, Pneumatic Tools. Do any of you manufacture pneumatic tools? Would those tools have been more beneficial to you and your family than the Chinese, maybe? East Trading Company that owns or represents 21 individual factories in Japan, Taiwan, and China, and 34% directly from a manufacturer in China. Mark Silber, an executive at hedge fund Renaissance Technologies, donated $1,000, just a measly $1,000. Renaissance Technologies has received billions, billions, B-I-L-L-I-O-N-S, billions of dollars from the China Investment Corporation, CIC, the country's U.S. $200 billion sovereign wealth fund. Mark Kirk, current Republican representative, nominee running for the Senate in Illinois. It's a wonderful guy. Illinois, where is that? Where Chicago is? Wonder if there are any people in up around Illinois that could have used the jobs that were outsourced over to China. Probably not. You know, the voting majority, they're so intelligent, they know exactly who to vote for, so they would know this already. This is not news to them, I'm sure. But to me, an ignorant guy, I guess, it's news to me. Think Progress is now alleging. It's not alleging that any of these individuals are necessarily the ones that participated in the Beijing fundraiser. But without Kirk Campaign releasing the names of the business persons who attended the fundraiser, we cannot know for sure which interest it was that Kirk was responding to when he voted against the offshoring bill the next day. And you can find that article in thinkprogress.org. Okay, let's see. There were some other things that I found quite interesting. There was one that got away from me, and I hated that. It was a story about Clarence Thomas and Scalia. I really wanted to take a look at that story, but it got away from me. I should have captured it, but I didn't. Last night, Pennsylvania Democrat. This is calling for less waste. Toomey criticizes Congress for voting on systems the Pentagon doesn't even want. Easy? This is Toomey. I think he's running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, maybe. But what do I know? I'm from Texas. Calling for less waste. Calling for less waste. Toomey criticizes Congress for voting on the system the Pentagon doesn't even want. Last night, Pennsylvania Democrat and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Representative Joe Sestak and Pat Toomey debated a variety of issues before a national television audience. At one point during the debate, one of the moderators asked the two candidates about their thoughts on fat in the Pentagon budget that needs to be cut out. Sestak responded first, boasting that even though some parts of the F-22, a program the Obama administration Pentagon had struggled to end, are built in his district, he supported ending funding for the necessary program. Interestingly, Toomey, while reiterating that he wants to give our troops all the resources they need to get the job done, insisted that there is waste pretty much everywhere in the government, and that includes the Pentagon. Part of the problem is voting on systems the Pentagon doesn't even want. Toomey, my dad is a veteran of the Korean War era. My brother-in-law served 20 years in the Navy. One of the things that's very important, very, very important to me, to make sure that when we ask men and women to go into harm's way, they have all the resources they need to get the job done. I've always voted to provide those resources and always will. But the fact is there is waste pretty much everywhere in the government, and that includes the Pentagon. Part of the problem is Congress voting on systems the Pentagon doesn't even want. Congress has a real serious spending problem, and it manifests itself in many ways. Certainly wasteful defense programs are occasionally in that list. Toomey's statement makes him at least the fourth Republican running for Senate who has gone on record as saying the defense cuts are necessary in order to deal with the budget deficit and tackle waste in government. Last week, Illinois' candidate Mark Kirk said we need across-the-board reductions in defense spending. Wow, this is great. Senator John Isakon, Georgia, that's Isaac's son of Georgia, told a local news station that reducing the deficit begins with the Department of Defense. A few days later, Kentucky candidate Rand Paul criticized Republicans for exempting the military, which is a good thing. If these Republicans are really serious about reining in the defense budget, they can look at the Sustainable Defense Task, which is SDTF report, released earlier this year, assembled by Representative Barney Frank, Democrat from Massachusetts, and consists of the nation's leading defense and budget experts. The SDTF identified nearly $1 trillion in waste. $1 trillion in waste that could be cut from the defense budget over the next 10 years simply by eliminating outdated Cold War era programs. They could also reference a recent report by CAP experts Lawrence Kolb and Laura Comley that lays out $108 billion in defense cuts. Wow, that's going to be very interesting. Anyway, I'll tell you what, I will be right back with more of the show, and I really appreciate you joining us right here on Black Ice and Friends, or Ice and Friends right here on the next phase. We'll be right back right after this musical interlude.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know. I'm dancing with the man in the mirror.
Trying to get his information a minute ago. My dear brother, Mr. Alfo, who has a show on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays, and that is 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. You got to tune in and catch his show, as well as other hosts that I was telling you about earlier. Brother Alfo, thank you so much. Good to see you. And go ahead and say what you have to say. we got a lot to talk about.
Well, first of all, Black, I do 2 hours. I do the first hour at 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
Right.
And the second hour I do on TruthWorks at 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. But
2 and 3.
Right. 2 o'clock I do it from Blog Talk. And the second hour I do from Blog Talk on TruthWorks. And that's that network that's... that was created by Janice Graham of Our Common Ground.
Wow. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm so proud to know you and so grateful to you even allowing me to associate with you. I really appreciate you. And
you?
And I'm going to put that down, three, also three, 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time. You go ahead and say what you got to say, and I'll be doctoring this stuff up over here.
Well, one of my points is simply this. You know, I posted it in your chat room.
Uh-huh.
Just the woefully inept way that Democrats are able to carry this message. Here
right.
You have the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce
mm-hmm.
of the United States, outsourcing jobs, and that's what they're there to do. They're taking in the foreign money, and I don't care how they want to spin it, how they want to claim you have no proof, but Think Progress put together like four or five different articles that basically outlines the number of foreign, you know, the number of foreign companies and the amount of money.
Wow.
The Chamber of Commerce said that it was about 50 or 60
wow.
companies when we found out that it was more than 85. The Chamber of Commerce says it was not more than 100,000.
Right.
We found out, and Think Progress found out and listed that it was 885,000. So if you're lying about that, and all this money is going into what is called a 501c6 account.
Right.
That's where the chamber has their ad rate, you know, their you know, campaign raising dollars. All of it's going into the same account. Now, money's fungible. So which dollars are going where? And when they talk about and they say, well, what proof do you have? We have the proof that, A, all the Republicans stood lockstep to voted down transparency to keep us from looking. B, you've got the Koch brothers. And that's who should be in the crosshairs of the Democratic Party. I mean, the DNC, the DCCC, everyone should be focused on the Koch brothers, the Chamber of Commerce. You know, you
right.
mentioned this summit. I think you mentioned this summit about that the Koch brothers held.
No, you know what? I didn't get a chance to, Alpha. Go ahead. I got this. I have pulled this story up finally that you're talking about.
Okay, well, here it is in a nutshell. And this was taken from a memo that was attained by the people who basically broke the story, people of Think Progress.
Right.
And here's the skinny on it. The Koch brothers held a seminar. And this seminar was to, in their own words, how to create the atmosphere for business to thrive and you know, just convoluted, you know, layered rhetoric about what they were really, you know, what they were there for and what they
exactly.
But
yeah.
How is it that you are speaking on those terms and the people you have that are attending this gathering, this event, is, you know, are the head funds billionaire from Botel.
Wow.
And Ansgar, he is another rich. He has something to do with filmmaking. He's
right.
another billionaire. Chevron, that is a third billionaire. And I'll post these links so you can see exactly who these people are. And why Glenn Beck there?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck is there. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is there.
Mm-hmm.
Big Oil is there.
Mm-hmm.
Health insurance companies are there. You've got Haley Barbour, Republican governor, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
You got Bobby Jindal, Republican governor,
mm-hmm.
Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Senators Colburn and Demented, because that's what his name is now, Demented.
He is.
You got House Representatives, Mike Pence, Price, and Ryan. Now, Ryan is the guy who's supposed to be the economist and has crafted this thing about redoing Social Security. But you have Steve Schwartzman. Now, he is the co-chair of this Rove group. You got Amway, you got Home Depot, you got Fox News. Why are they all meeting and colluding? And then Fox News is the propaganda arm, so that's who carries the message. Glenn Beck supplies the hatred and the bigotry. And how is this not a connect the dots. Just connect the dots. Just
right.
With that alone.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, you know, this thing about Mark Kirk going to this summit, this Chinese summit, and then
yeah.
the very next day he blocks the bill to take away the tax breaks for corporations that outsource. And the
right.
the Chinese junket that he was on was about Chinese businesses and getting the benefit of American outsourcing. The
yep.
Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Is a, that's where the jobs are. And the
mm-hmm.
Democrats fall willfully short. Alexis Janulis falls
mm-hmm.
willfully short in carrying this message. He's had...
You know, Brother Apple, let me just hold your thought. And the reason that I say this is because, you know, what I'm seeing is an evolution. See, and this is what, you know, 43 presidents have gone along to a some degree. Well, not they've not been able to do anything to change the situation. Now you have a president in here who and it just so happens that all of these things are coming together at the same time, and he has seen that these things need to change, but he doesn't have the backing. It took 43 presidential terms and 43 congressional terms, or whatever how many, to get us in the position that we're in, and the dominant voting majority. And the dominant voting majority, you know, they have invested in this. These guys know how to strike the chords that allow people to feel comfortable and warm about, you know, be patriotic and all. And these guys at the same time are using those chords that they're striking to strangle the American public. You know, the voting majority, there are people, I can't get into the voting majority because I've had to fight against the voting majority my 58 years that I've been on this earth because of things that weren't in my best interest. And so there were people who, you know, could ride along the wave and they didn't realize, you know, it reminds me of the story about the frog. If you put a frog in boiling water, that frog will try to jump out. But if you put that frog in a pot, a cool water, and turn the fire on, you can literally boil him because he's not aware of the temperature increase. And this is what's happened with people who have sided with these. I only have one choice to call them, Alpha. ALFO, that's Alpha, guys. If y'all come to Blog Talk Radio and put ALFO in the search bar, and it'll bring up Alpha's information. And I want you, please, to take a listen to it. He's a lot more articulate and far more well prepared than I am, and I really appreciate you being here, brother. But you know, the dominant voting majority doesn't understand that these things that they put our faces on are killing them. That's what's bewildering to me.
Well, getting people to vote against their own interests has been the way they have crafted this entire scenario for the last three and a half decades. And you can only look at how it's done. It's done through the media. It's done through the propaganda. Look at what they're talking about now. Each and every topic that they are talking about with these pundits, be it on, and I never watch Fox. I've got to be honest with you. There's a move going to boycott Fox, to turn Fox off, to stop buying from their sponsors, the whole nine yards, and I'm 100%. If I know you sponsor through Fox, if you're a Fox sponsor, I don't buy your product. You know, Glenn Beck has lost 296 sponsors. How is he still on the air? You know why he's still on the air? Because Fox does not get revenue from his program. It's being subsidized by the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers will say, well, just because that boycott has worked, let's backdoor it. And what they do is they rev up the revenue given to the other program.
Right.
That compensates Glenn Beck for that bigotry and hatred that he constantly spews. You know,
exactly.
If the American people, and even especially the Democratic Party has had 3.5 decades of weak campaigning, of inability to get their message across.
Right.
Or to carry their message. And it would be a little difficult with the way the conservative corporations control the media.
Right,
but here's
exactly
the rub on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a news conference, they will have to cover it.
Right.
And not, don't just have a news conference. You have to have the news conference and make the atmosphere toxic by telling the truth.
That's all. That's how you make it toxic. It's just simply by telling the truth. I mean, Alpha, have you ever listened to this brother? He was on he's a conservative talk show host, supposedly. Have you ever listened to him? I listened to him a little bit last night, and it was really funny because the guy was just he has no fact to me, and it's just me criticizing. I mean, I'd be glad to entertain him on my deal, or I'll go on his deal. But he has no fact, and it's just broad, glowing generalities. We want to cut taxes. We want to, you know, nothing specific.
Who is he, Black? I don't know.
I'll look through here and see if I can't find him. But I was listening to him last night. I admire the brother for being on, you know what I mean, that way. But and thank you for posting that. And East Coast. East Coast is in the room. I don't know if you saw him. But thank you, East Coast. Glad you're here. And Brother Alpha is on the line with us. And Brother Alpha, tell me your time, man. I got it. So don't worry. I got it. And I'll do it next time. But give me your time that you're on.
On Saturdays. Saturdays, that, 2 o'clock Central Time on Blog Talk Radio. And on Saturdays, 3 o'clock Central Time on TruthWorks. And I have that, you know, that little bit where I have to transfer, you know, and, you know, log out and sign in, you know, under the TruthWorks ID. So, you know, it's about I'm getting better at the transfer, but it, you know, for me, it simply creates an opportunity. You know, I have callers, and I entertain those from the right.
Absolutely.
And you know what's
absolutely
so disingenuous of these people who spew these specious arguments. The first thing, one of their biggest talking points is that he broke a promise. He didn't put it on the internet so we can read it 72 hours before.
Yeah.
Now, he did that for 14 months. They did the health care bill for 14 months. Are you going to tell me in the 14 months, if you are that concerned about it being on the internet, the finished product, that you couldn't bother to go and keep up with what was going on in 14 months, number one. Number two, there are 420 bills that the House of Representatives have passed that are sitting blocked, filibustered, obstructed by the Republican Party. 13 of those bills are jobs bills. That would create jobs. That would give tax breaks to companies who are hiring. I mean, it would do a great thing to get the country back to work. It's being blocked by Republicans. They
absolutely
are also blocking the, you know, you've got these Republican governors who won't distribute the money to the shovel-ready projects. So they are easily, look at the boy Christie in New Jersey. He's killing a $400 billion tunnel bill that will alleviate the congestion on his roads and the whole nine yards because his malfeasance. By not filing his papers correctly and on time, he forfeited the federal funding of this tunnel project. So now he wants to kill the entire thing, and that in and of itself is what the problem is. You know, and the guy who was supposed to file he threw him under the bus. And the guy shot back, and, you know, he said right off the bat it wasn't his fault. But this is what they do.
Right.
They're holding, when they talk about we want him to fail, they want the country to fail. They want the middle class to fail. And yet you have these teabaggers who simply go off like lemmings. They vote against their best interests, and all they know is that, you know, we're not racist. Oh, that we only have a few crazies, and, you know, you can't paint the whole group with crazies, but there's another situation that only has a few crazies, but yet the entire group is painted because of the few crazies.
Exactly.
That's Al-Qaeda, and that's the Muslim and Islamic religion.
You know, Brother Alpha,
double standard to start.
You know, Brother Alpha, this is a strange thing for me, is that I'm sure you know this, and I'm only asking you this rhetorically, but Rush Limbaugh stated out of his own mouth, and it's on, if you want to use your favorite search engine, anybody out there, search it, look it up. Rush Limbaugh stated out of his own mouth that he found himself on the side of the Taliban. You remember that?
And Rush Limbaugh, I mean, you know, when you hear these things, when you hear this type of hatred, and you can, out of you can Rush Limbaugh, Michael Wiener, other people know him as Michael Savage. When you hear the type of hatred, the bigotry, the vitriol, all you can do is shake your head. And for the Tea Party members who want to sit back and say, well, the Tea Party isn't racist, but you just have racists amongst you.
Right, right. And you know, there's a – I didn't bring the article with me tonight, but the NAACP has, you know, since the Tea Party called them out a while back, several months, two or three months ago, the Tea Party, I mean, the NAACP has substantiated, along with another organization, I can't remember what it is, that the a lot of the Tea Party has close ties with white separatist groups. And you know, the weird thing about it to me is, this is the reason that I mentioned Rush Limbaugh. What's really, really strange to me, is that the Tea Party touts themselves as being patriotic. Now, a patriot wants the U.S. to succeed. Now, it's strange how that the Tea Party finds itself on the same side with corporate interests who want to outsource, with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda who fight for the violent overthrow of the United States of America and the maiming and killing of citizens and the terrorists acts against the U.S., as well as the cartels in Mexico, for one place, that they all find themselves, as well as Limbaugh and Beck, on the same side. And yet and still people follow these guys. Limbaugh's going to make his $65 million, and I don't find anything in common with that guy. It's no way I got $65 million. And there's no way I got what Beck makes, I think, is $34 million. And I'm not against anybody making their money, period. But I'm just saying that these guys all are on the same side of the failure of the United States of America. Now they cloak it because it's really more comfortable when you can use Obama as your lightning rod, and you can say, well, it's Obama that I'm against. But Obama's the one that stopped the hemorrhaging of 750,000 job losses per month. Obama is the one that literally saved, because Bush, this is the dynamic I think so many people don't really see, is that Bush inherited from Clinton almost a $300 billion budget surplus. He inherited a viable economy, Wall Street that was doing reasonably well, the auto industry that was in pretty good shape. And, I mean, this is what Bush came into office with, what Obama, who came in, and Bush took 8 years he took to turn that 280 or 300, arguably whichever, a billion-dollar budget surplus into a $1.4 trillion budget deficit. He did it in 8 years. In other words, I invested with you $280 billion, and you gave me back a bill for $1.4 trillion. And then he handed Obama, here you go, Obama. You know, Wall Street's failing. The auto industry is running to Congress, needing money to support themselves. AIG is going down. The housing industry, we've outsourced all the jobs, so you don't have a manufacturing infrastructure, as well as you're losing 750,000 jobs a month. We're foreclosing on a lot of houses, so a lot of people losing jobs. So if you decrease the tax base, then the people that are working, if you want to continue the services that have been provided for people, necessary. What I'm calling the safety net. If you want to continue that, then you have to increase the taxes, or the federal government has to come in with loans and support the infrastructure that is so desperately needed by so many people who are finding this tumultuous time of a tremendous need for the resources. You know, the children, the loss of houses, homelessness, and everything. This is what Bush handed Obama, who was supposedly inexperienced, and in less than two years, he's addressed the issue, stemmed the loss of 750,000 jobs, so he took that from 750 to zero, then started adding jobs. You understand what I'm saying, brother? I don't get it.
this is what I mean when I say their inability to carry their message. The TARP program was rolled out by Bush. The beginning of the TARP program, those funds were just handed to the bank. The banks made billions on zero interest money that they were given through the TARP program. The Obama administration added some safety to it. And now the American people have made $26.5 billion off of these loans. They have paid back $400 billion of the $400 billion of the $787 billion that was loaned.
Exactly.
Or given. But see,
so that's $347
billion
outstanding, but it's coming in.
That doesn't come out in the wash.
Exactly.
Many of the Tea Partiers, they don't see that. There's the same with GM and Chrysler. The money that was loaned out to get them to bridge, save millions of jobs. And now GM and Chrysler are making a profit for the first time in 11 years. Now, when you get those figures, Ford is also making a profit, but they didn't take any of the money. But when you get all of that together, each and every time, they have achieved something.
Right, exactly.
The Republicans have made sure that they came out with something and forced the media to cover that. Just like they came out with their pledge to America, what was happening on that day? That's the day that the health insurance benefits kicked in. You know, the children on their, you know, the big four items. They say the stimulus package was a failure. But each and every one of them have a letter on record basically thanking their municipalities and, in their own words, speaking about the jobs that it has created. But the Democrats have yet to seize on that and pull up those papers and basically run ads about their hypocrisy. Those are lies.
Brother, I'll tell you what,
American people are being hoodwinked. And what are they talking about now? Obama's losing the white vote.
That's the same
narrative they had when he was running in the primary. He can't get the white vote. And this is what they are doing. They are framing a narrative and beating the drum of that narrative while the Democrats sit back and cower in the corner like shrinking
down. I can't. You know what, brother? This is where I have to take issue. And respectfully. But the Democrats never had the infrastructure. They couldn't bankroll. You remember they had what was that network that they had for a while? That Green, what's his name? That he was American. I can't remember. It was on Sirius and XM satellite radio for a while.
What,
they
Air
tried
America?
That, huh? Air
was,
America.
Was it Air America?
It. Yeah.
And see, Air America was not just so small. When you look at the size and the amount, there are 450 right-wing talk radio shows that spew this hatred throughout the country on a daily basis. There are 90 progressive talk shows all over the country. Now, you're outgunned there, but here's the problem. You have how many times, let me put it like this, you haven't seen Mitch McConnell in about 3 weeks. Come before a microphone, but you've seen John Boehner, you've seen 50 different surrogates who are elected officials.
Yeah.
Come before the microphone. Where's the Black Caucus? How many times do you see Nancy Pelosi say anything other than when she's being criticized or responding to reporters' questions? Harry Reid, how many times do you see him in front of a TV camera or a microphone
right.
basically chiding the accomplishments of this administration. You don't
right.
see Durbin, Schumer. You don't see these Democrats
mm-hmm.
carrying this president's agenda, being
mm-hmm.
surrogates for what this nation needs.
Right.
And that's where the vacuum is in the messaging. And now
well,
they want to tell us to buck up.
We
would have to tell us to buck up if they had bucked up on health care and other
Brother,
things.
Right. Brother Alpha, here's what I'm going to say is that I'm going to buck up because I'm going to tell you that I would rather work with the Democrats than I had to work with this new breed. They call themselves, you know, they've made the transformation from Republicans to conservatives and now the Tea Party. You know, since Republican was so distasteful and conservative got so distasteful under Bush because absolutely was not conservative after running that deficit up and engaging us in two war fronts. You know, so now you've changed to the Tea Party. It's a marketing tool. It's pretty cool, you know, because you can say the Tea Party is a grassroots, which it's not. It's like you said, funded by the Koch brothers and various other really financially, tremendously well endowed financial interests. But you know the point of it is that I will not, because just as they don't, I will not. I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to continue to support the Democratic Party and suggest that people get out because this is so significant. This election. You know, and I look at these. I look at the Andrea Mitchells, and I look at the, I call him Todd Chuck, and I look at the Joe, whatever his name is, Scarboroughs, and these different guys. You know, and you can just see the vitriol. And Pat Buchanan, I can't understand why they would even have Pat Buchanan, because if you Google, or well, I say Google, use your favorite search engine to ask about what has Pat Buchanan said about African Americans, you would be surprised at what you find out.
No, I wouldn't. He's a racial arsonist. He's a racial arsonist along with too many of the house ninjas. And I call
right.
them house ninjas because that's exactly what they are. Joe
right.
Watkins, Ron Christie. You've got Michael Steele. You've got too many of them who are willing to stand for just the bigotry and deny the bigotry.
Right.
If you got Michael Steele standing... They cut his cojones off and took the purse string from him.
You sure
that's
he
why
didn't
the
give
Rove
them to
group,
us?
The money
you
all
sure
is all going
to
the Rove group, and it's going into the Chamber of Commerce because they've basically, you know, taken Michael Steele out of the picture. He's running
right.
around the country with Sarah Palin talking about fire Nancy Pelosi. Now, what is that for? And he doesn't see how he's being... mistreated, he's being basically chumped off, and he's fine with that. He doesn't seem to get it that after his term as RNC chairman is over,
yeah,
where's
yeah.
he going?
Nowhere.
Where is he going? There will be no place for him under the Republican tent, especially the Tea. He might be able or want to hang out with the Tea Partiers, but they will reject him.
You know what, Brother Alpha? The RNC is bankrupt.
Right, the RNC is bankrupt, and where is the money coming from? The Chamber of Commerce and, you know, the billionaires.
Rove.
And it's on to the Rove Group.
Yes,
they're
sir.
Raising obscene amounts of money.
Right.
A lot of it foreign money. And,
right, exactly.
I don't know if you saw the top story on the Huffington Post. I pulled it up, and it's got a picture of, what was it, Tom Donahue from the Chamber of Commerce?
Uh-huh.
And... they're basically blowing the whistle on them. This is what has to happen. This is
right.
where they should beat this drum for the next 12 days. They
right.
started too late, just like they did with their
right.
woefully inadequate campaigning on health care. The
right.
insurance companies, the health insurance companies, should have been vilified from day one because they are the villains. They are the problem. You got
you know,
about 15 minutes left, Black.
Dude,
I'm gonna let you close this.
Don't even worry about it. Don't. I mean, you know, listen. Let me tell you, I am enjoying, and I am so appreciative of you because it's. I mean, you know, there's. you know, there are not many people that I can really have this kind of conversation with, and I hope that the audience isn't I hope that the audience is benefiting from you and your intellect and the research that you do. And I want to, you know, suggest that corporate media can't do what we this is an hour and a half. And how long is your show, Alpha? A-L-F-O, Alpha, that's who this is. And if you get a chance, go to Blog Talk Radio, put Alpha, A-L-F-O, in the search engine, and you will find him. But how long is your show, brother?
I've got 2 one-hour segments.
That's two. And then how long is Sister India Declare?
India Declare is a two-hour show.
It's 2 hours daily,
Monday,
right?
Monday through Saturday from 11 Eastern till 1 Eastern.
And then Sister Navazor.
Sister Navazor,
you know,
is on Sundays at 5.
And also Sister Janice Brown.
Janice Graham. I co-host with Janice Graham on Our Common Ground on Saturday evening at 9 p.m. Central. And we do 2 hours. Janice Graham is one of the utmost and foremost black historians.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, this woman is she knows everyone. She had lunch the other day with Dick Gregory.
Wow.
Had lunch, from Dr. Wimbush to even Dorothy I. Height.
Wow.
May she rest in peace. Dorothy
Height. Right, bless her heart, yes.
Was a sorority sister, I believe, of her grandmother. And
wow.
He was one of her mentors. And when she was a little girl,
mm-hmm.
She used to, play in the parlor while Dorothy Heights was visiting her grandmother. This woman knows everybody.
And what time are y'all on? And the reason that I'm saying this, let me interrupt you just for a second, but hold your thought, please. The reason that I'm saying this is that anybody, whomever, what little few that I can add, you get a few who listen and so forth. But what little few that I can add, and what I'm saying is that this is a network of individuals that I'm talking about. This is not corporate media. You're listening to Alpha speaking really outside the box. You're not going to hear this from Juan Williams, who just got fired today, I'm sorry to say. But, and let's see, who else is on there? The guys, Lemon and all these guys on CNN, and, they got one poor little lady, Tamron Hall, on MSNBC. You're not going to hear this kind of thing discussed in this way on any other format other than Blog Talk Radio and the individuals that we've just talked about, who provide you information and access. And you can give us a call. When you find Brother Alpha's show, give him a call. Am I right, Brother Alpha?
Well, I'll always be open to debating and popping it up if you've got a different perspective on what is going on in this nation. You know, you have people who are from the other side, and the first thing they want to say is, oh, look at all the spending he's doing. Look at all the spending he's doing. Well, when all else has failed,
mm-hmm.
when you have unemployment and the private sector unable to spend, government spending is the last resort. Speak about freedoms, taking away our individual freedoms and our individual liberty. What is someone stopping you from doing? Smoking in a bar?
Mm-hmm.
You can smoke outside. You can go home and smoke.
Or quit.
Or quit. I used to tease people in front of a building. I used to walk into where I work, and I'd see people standing out in the cold smoking.
Exactly.
And I would ask them, what, you want pneumonia with that cancer? Hey, I mean, these people would like to rage about
nothing.
Trivial. And
right,
I call
exactly.
it trivial. And they want to say that, oh, we're for the Constitution. We're for the Constitution. First of all,
mm-hmm.
you have this feigned indignation of what the Constitution says. Let's go back to the constitutional principles. Is that
mm-hmm.
like the Fourth Amendment that was shredded by Bush and the Patriot Act that was instituted, and you all weren't in the streets. Freedom Works and the Heritage Foundation, American Enterprise Institute wasn't funding buses to take you triangle hat wearing SOBs all over the country with your hate signs and all of that when Bush shredded the Fourth Amendment with the FISA, where they were illegally wiretapping and they were protecting the phone companies, the cell phone companies from legal action because they broke the law, then they wrote the law.
Yeah.
So when the Tea Partiers and these constitutionalists, these libertarians speak about the Constitution, is that the same Constitution that you wanted to tweak and change the 14th Amendment because you have a hard-on about Mexicans coming over and having children and they become citizens? You know, none of that is right.
Exactly.
You know,
how about the
or is it the 17th Amendment you wanted? They want to tweak and change the Constitution to what they want.
Brother Alpha, let me say again, I didn't mean to stop you about Sister Janice Graham. I want to reiterate, her show is very significant. But you know what? What's funny to me is talking about the Miss Quiet Storm also. Miss Quiet Storm, she's on it. And just when you go, it's all one word, Miss Quiet Storm, and put that in the search box. But, you know, the funny thing is that they talk about separation of church and state. Now, there are some countries that have theocratic rules. Iran is one. It's ruled by a theocracy. And I'd much prefer having a government rule with a theocracy operating under, the different theocracies under it. You know, and after all, if you allow a theocracy to be dominant and prominent, which one is it going to be? I mean, you know, if you look at it from a really strange perspective, it could very well be, some of the ones that people have a tremendous aversion to, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. And if you think Ahmadinejad has power, you're wrong, because he's nothing more than a puppet. He's a proxy. Ahmadinejad is nothing more than a mouthpiece.
Absolutely.
Because he has to check with the council, the religious council, to get his marching order.
Exactly. And when it comes to when you have it, and you know it has to do, and it's the same thing. You know, I used to argue with people, well, when they took prayer out of school, I said, okay, so you want prayer in school. All right, so you want Christian prayer, then you have Islamic prayer, then you may have Buddhist prayer. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can't determine who's going to do what in when you open that Pandora's box.
Well,
you know?
I mean, let's face it, Christian prayer is all they want. Churches is all they want to open. You know, when you paint this Islamic center as a mosque, when you falsely continue to refer to it as a mosque, and rather than it being at ground zero, it's two blocks away, and then you throw that, there was a plane wheel in one of the windows at the Burlington Coat Factory. that craters your credibility, because at some point in time, either you're going to be honest about it, or you're going to continue to, be intellectually dishonest.
Well,
so,
they
want the First Amendment. It guarantees freedom of
That's
religion.
That's where I was going.
But not there. Well, any place. How about the insensitivity? What about all of the people that died and the families? What about the Muslims that died?
Right.
70 Muslims died.
Right.
Well, I don't get it. And then to create this firestorm that spreads across the nation. Then you got a clown in Florida talking about burning Qurans.
Yeah.
And as they talk about burning Qurans, you have this upheaval of, the Islamic faith, and they're basically marching around the world. That puts a lot of people around the world at risk.
And you know what I'm saying? When you say Islamic faith, I'm saying Islamic extremists. Because, fundamentally, the more centered and for the most part Islam is not a violent faith, as is, you know, you have the extremists in the Christian faith, supposedly, who espouse Christianity. But they are extremists, and they will go to some really excessive, for instance, I think Timothy McVeigh might have been an example of that. You know, and there are any number of extremist Christian organizations who want to keep this purity or that purity, and they'll go to some extremes in order to try to sustain what their perception of purity is. And you know, the thing that I'm against is extremism, regardless to what the faith is, what the social perspective is, or what the financial perspective is. Extremism is to me not something that I really welcome, and I will challenge it at every possible opportunity, you know. But you know, to my idea again, and I had pulled up this article that you were talking about earlier, but we won't get to it. But I hope you get to it on your show. This article was addressing. It was talking about Waxman confronts U.S. Chamber over foreign money questions, secret corporate campaign funds.
Yeah, he spoke at the Chamber of Commerce a couple of days ago, and you know, he was in the well. He was there at the Chamber of Commerce, and he was challenging them. He was simply saying, because this isn't just about winning an election. This is an attack on our democracy. And
right,
I got
exactly.
to be honest with you, if this was the other way, if the Chamber of Commerce was giving $75 million to Democrats for campaign ads to defeat Republicans, they would be up in arms. They would be Fox News talking about the Democrats are with the terrorists. But you don't get it from that side, because the Republican Party and the conservatives control the narrative coming out of the media.
Exactly.
But, well,
Mike,
you know,
got about 3 minutes left, man. Thanks
for listening. Dude. You know, listen, let me tell you, Alpha, I'm going to tell you again, and I want you to give your the show and all the time and everything. Man, listen, let me tell you, you're welcome every time, anytime, as are any other individuals. But you, man, I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate your perspective, and I enjoy discussing with you, whether I'm arguing or just a general discussion. Also, listen, Alpha, this is another thing I wanted to mention to you. It says, this is thinkprogress.org. What role has Scalia and Thomas played in the Koch money machine?
Well, they were there at the summit. How does that not cast a cloud? How does that not sully the credibility of the Supreme Court? This right-wing-leaning activist Supreme Court has been in the works for 30 years, and they have finally come to fruition, and this is giving us Citizens United. Black,
and this is why
God.
It's important that we have to vote, because we need to get a Supreme Court individuals in there that will not stand for these kinds of things. Brother Alpha, tell me time, date, and everything.
Saturday, it's the Alpha Show at 2 o'clock Central. And at 3 o'clock Central on Toothworks Network, and Janice has started calling it the Mo Alpha Show. it's 2 hours on Saturdays from 2 Central, and then the other hours at 3 o'clock Central from Toothworks Network. And, Black, thanks a lot, man. You take care of yourself.
No. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it. Apple, you take care, and I'll be listening to you, okay?
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and tie these loose ends. You take care. God bless you and the family and everybody. Hey, I want to thank everybody for joining us right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Brother Alpha, A-L-F-O, and as well as some other guests that we'll have or hosts that are on Blog Talk Radio. Just give us a listen whenever you get a chance, and I'd also like to thank Dr. Reba, who came through a few minutes ago and gave me her information. And Dr. Reba Israel, R-E-B-A-I-S-R-A-E-L at AOL.com, and her website is www.rebaisrael.com. I think that's right. Anyway, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Give us a call anytime, 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. And that is the next phase with Ice and Friends Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. And no matter who you vote for, just make sure you vote November the 2nd. Hopefully, Brother T.L. Harris will be with us next week, and we'll take a look at some musical history. With that said, we'll say God bless you and the family. Thank you for joining us, and take good care of yourself. We'll see you next time.
Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good, gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I? Blind, pretending not to see them need. A son of disregard, a broken bottle top, and what men throw. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. And why no one yet to know?
Make the front.